T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk.
We go ham.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Here's the pitch by Irvin. Almora swings. Hits one to deep left field. Way back. You can look up. Gone. A grand slam for Albert Almora Jr.
I think if you talk about improved players on the Cubs, Albert Almora is at the top of the list. But I think since moving to the sixth and the eighth spot in the order, it's really made a difference. He's been the Cubs' best hitter since April 25th, hitting .342. The key will come, though, once the league starts to adjust to Albert Almora. Maybe again, that's what happened last year. He didn't adjust to the adjustments. This year, a year later, maybe he's more equipped to do that. Maybe if he's not batting leadoff, he won't be exposed as much. So I do think he can avoid the kind of downfall or decline that he suffered last year that created so much doubt.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Charlie bashes this ball. Deep right field. It is a grand slam, Charlie Tilson. Start the party at New Trier.
The White Sox are obviously looking for people that can be a part of this thing long term. I don't know that Charlie Tilson can be. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's a central part of the rebuild. But I wonder if he hadn't been hurt, if we'd be talking about it differently. So part of the story here is a guy that suffered a terrible injury, had a couple of setbacks, and has worked his rear end off. And, you know, he said when he came up that he felt more dangerous at the plate than he ever has before. And to hit a grand slam, his first career home run, it was a great moment for him, a great moment for the White Sox. It's a hell of a story, and I hope he is part of the future.
Mully and Hall.
It's a grand morning.
It's a grand slam breakfast morning.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Apparently no one told Wildberry. I was hoping that the whole Grand Slam breakfast thing would maybe have you fall off your wallet and
some,
pop for breakfast.
No, season, I'll have the fruit plate, please.
Yeah, you love that fruit plate.
I like the fruit plate.
I like that jalapeno,
you do like the jalapeno
omelet that is so nice, but I don't think I'll ever eat another jalapeno after Bernstein talked about it yesterday. Why bring that up again?
Because you're hungry.
I guess.
You must
be. We're not really going to get much into that.
No.
Not hungry now. All right. A lot of fun today because we got Grand Slams both sides of town. You got the White Sox winning in Houston. And now you got Lucas Giolito on the bump tonight. And Giolito has won his first three. He's won three consecutive starts for just the second time in his career. Just the second time in his career.
Yeah.
Last out, he had the rain-shortened five-inning complete game victory, only allowed a run in that game. And he is, again, this is sort of one of these games where I'm not saying they have to win. I'm not saying they can win. I'm saying if they do.
See if they do.
We'll be talking tomorrow.
That's almost
about
what concerns me a little bit
because move forward.
I'm not making the comparison to Yu Darvish, but in the same way that Yu Darvish kind of above the shoulders, that's the thing you worry about every fifth day is his mental approach. Lucas Giolito has changed his mental approach and attributed that change to some of his early success. So I hope he doesn't put too much weight on this one start. I hope he doesn't look at it the way we just described it.
Exactly.
Like, you know what?
We've put too much weight on this start.
If the White Sox can win this game and split with the Astros and go into Minnesota, oh my, look where they could be by the end of the weekend. No, just look at it as keep it simple. You're just trying to get hitters out the same way that you were earlier in the season. The same thing that has worked before can work again. Don't overthink it.
And the Cubs take on the Phillies this afternoon. It's a 1:20 start, and you can listen to all of it here on The Score. Don't forget
Magnifico!
That 12:45 is when the pregame begins, and then we got Bernstein and McKnight from 9 to noon. Lawrence will be on for 45 minutes.
Yep.
Then you go right to the Cubs game, and then after the Cubs, you've got Danny Mac at 6 o'clock, most likely for a short little show after the Cubs until six. So I don't know how long that game's going to go, but we will get a chance to hear
with John Lester against Aaron Nola. Could be a fast game. Could be a sub 3 hour game.
And we saw Lester struggle in his last outing, and his ERA jumped from 1.16 to 2.09. It's just one start, but it's the first time this year he gave up more than two runs. So they lost
back at Wrigley, though. Back at home,
I'm just saying.
You don't know what the wind will be doing. Last night it was blowing out, and we saw some balls fly out of the ballpark. But I think John Lester will be locked in today. I'm looking forward to the first John Lester Bryce Harper matchup. I just think that's one that is
fun. I hope
fun.
He throws at him. No,
no,
stop
no.
it. I don't ever hope anyone throws.
You see the story about Bryce Harper complaining about the treatment he's getting in the right field bleachers.
I love that tongue he threw cheek. That ball out of the state. I thought that was very funny.
He acted like
he was going to throw it to the fans, and then he just threw it out. It hit the rooftop, and it looked like it fell into the street.
Could hit somebody on the head.
But
the 3-2 pitch. Fly ball out to right field. Playable for Harper. And that'll do it for the Cubs here in the sixth inning. And Harper just threw that one onto the rooftop behind Wrigley Field. 1-0 Cubs as we go to the seventh.
And then a couple of fans gave him the finger.
Yeah.
They were mad about it.
Did they show that on the radio?
I don't know. You know, there's always great stuff that happens at various games out in the bleachers. My favorite story, a friend of mine out there, and the ball is, I think they're playing the Mets. Daryl Strawberry's playing center field, and these guys are like, Daryl, I want a ball. Daryl. And finally, Daryl Strawberry, who had a bad relationship with fans in New York, let alone in Chicago, he turns around and he tosses the ball to the guy. And the guy catches it and lines it right at him.
Oh.
Daryl Strawberry has to jump out of the way. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's awful because it tells you why Daryl didn't get along with people, but he didn't get along with people.
I love that Sully went out to the bleachers in right field, Paul Sullivan from the Tribune, just to see what it was like and heard the typical retorts or the typical abuse that the fans would heap on a player. But then he heard somebody say, Bryce, you'll never be happy. I mean, that's deep. For a bleacher bum, that's pretty deep. You'll never be happy, Bryce. You named your dog Wrigley, and you signed a big contract with the Phillies.
Murph's still playing the trumpet out there? Is it still going on?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I mean, was he supposed to name the dog Citizens Bank Park? Wrigley just has a better ring to it.
Fanatic.
312-644-6767. We got other things in the wide world of sports. We mentioned local guy made good, Juwan Howard. Is now the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. How much money did Juwan Howard make in his career? Can you give me a ballpark figure? Because I seem to believe he made a ton of coin.
Well, he still has to do something, and he was an assistant coach in the NBA, and he has to be gainfully employed and want to do something worthwhile. He's making $2 million a year now as the Michigan head coach. I am not as down on that signing as you are. I think it's a good hire. If he surrounds himself with experienced assistants.
I'm not down on the signing. I merely pointed out that he is almost a polar opposite to John Beilein.
That he is.
And if he has success there, don't you imagine a Beilein to the NBA to be a head coach?
I don't know, because I think the reason he's back at Michigan has to do a lot with the fact that it's his alma mater, that he feels a connection to the university as an alum. And I am surprised, though, because, Mully, when we talked to Mike DeCourcy the day after John Beilein surprised everybody and went to the Cavs, the list that he had was very similar to guys who had followed the same path John Beilein followed to Michigan.
Right.
Experienced guys, maybe not big names, but guys who had taken other jobs and moved them way up in the profession. Juwan Howard,
who did first
coaching job.
Who did they interview, though, before Juwan? They were going to hire he just got a contract extension.
Providence Cooley.
Ed Cooley.
Ed Cooley from Providence. Yeah.
Ed Cooley High. Ended up staying. You ever see that movie, Cooley High? It's a good movie. Ended up staying. I know a girl I went to grammar school with, her father was in the movie. He was one of the cops. I think that was the only reason we saw it, Tommy Moore. But at any rate, Cooley High. Ed Cooley ends up getting a lot of money. But Juwan Howard made roughly inside
the mind of a mulligan.
$149 million as a player.
That's a lot of money.
I'm just saying, you want to go
So you want him to kick
someone?
Back on South Beach and just say, hey, that
yeah,
was fun?
I
He's 46 years old.
Okay.
He's 46 years old.
Okay.
And he wants to coach. And if you want to coach,
John Beilein's 69 and going into the
I know. You're
NBA.
Juwan Howard. You want to be the front man for a program that was very good to you. You think that you feel indebted to some way, maybe to the University of Michigan. However he feels, there's an affection there. There's a pull there. I get it. And I don't think he's going to be terrible. I think it's a challenge because it's a coach's league.
You know, the great thing about being Juwan Howard as a coach at Michigan, you can be your own like wealthy alum.
So
I think it's illegal. Yeah.
That's more than Michael Jordan made.
Is it really?
I'm saying, you know,
yeah, just in salary of the NBA. Right.
But Juwan Howard played forever.
He did play a long time.
He was on rosters forever. He'd play forever.
And
but he was on the
say
team.
He was the first guy that like got to that. He was like a $99 million contract.
Yes, he had a huge contract. I think
his last season at the time he was 39 years old in 2013, and he came into the league in 1994. Okay.
Wow.
So that's a long time to play basketball.
Jalen Rose made over $100 million.
Really?
Like 102.
How much did Weber make?
A lot of it was the Bulls, from the Bulls, too. He made a lot of Bulls money.
Weber must have made a ton of money compared to those guys. And
I actually think Juwan is the highest paid of the three.
178 for Weber.
Yeah, Weber had to.
Can you name the other two? Fab Five?
Jimmy King and Ray. Oh, damn it.
You're very close.
Diaz.
Ray Diaz. It was Ray Diaz.
No, it wasn't Ray Diaz.
It was Jimmy King and Ray.
Close. Go with that.
No, what is it? Ray King?
Yeah. No, Ray Jackson.
Oh, Ray Jackson. Damn it. Yeah. Of course. Those guys didn't make much at all. They made more at Michigan.
Yeah. They took a pay cut when they became, I don't want to say professional basketball players.
They got the pictures in the hot tub to prove it. All right. Well, see, I just get myself in trouble. Now, you know, now my wife's people will be mad at me. She's a Michigan grad. Go Blue!
Oh, maybe. Is she against the move, too? Is that you have some reservations?
My wife couldn't. Right. I don't think she could name a Michigan basketball player. I don't think she could have named the Fab Five.
Rob Pelinka.
If you ask my wife, she'd be like, oh, Jim Harbaugh. She remembers him. But that's about it. Yeah, all right. Rob Pelinka.
Michigan.
Oh. I thought you were referring to the Lakers and him.
No, saying that he's a Michigan guy.
So that's why he undercut Magic? Because he went to Michigan State? It's that in-state rivalry once again.
Never get a kick out of you guys.
Yeah, we got Olin Krutz next, and we'll find out if 26 is good enough. Is that where he was ranked, 26?
Somewhere 27. Around there. 27, I believe it was.
Is 27 good enough? Does Olin deserve to be in the top 25? Are Pearson and Pompey in trouble? We'll find out next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Olin Krutz.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the game. I got to sit in the end zone, and I got to watch a lot of Hicks and Matt. And those two guys together, I'm going to tell you right now, Kat, I would not want to face those two animals.
Olin Krutz.
Kat, we were watching, and we were like, man, that is a tough defense to come in off the bench and face. It's turning out to be maybe the best pass rush in the whole NFL right now.
Olin Krutz.
If the offense ever does catch the defense, well, then we're going to be doing a Super Bowl show maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll come along, Kat. I think they will get better. How good, how quickly, that's anybody's guess.
Olin Krutz. Every week with Mully and Hall. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Hall.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Every time we talk to Olin, it's like Christmas morning. And we celebrate that. Good morning, Olin. How are you?
Morning, Olin.
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. The weather's nice. It feels like Hawaii outside today, so that helps out a little bit.
And we should mention Olin joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And 27th on the all-time top 100 list, just behind Ed Healy, one of the stars. I believe he was on the 1920s All-Decade team.
But just ahead of Lance Briggs.
And ahead of Lance Briggs, as it should be. Olin, too low?
I like that, Dave.
Too high? Too low?
Look, the competitor in you wants to be ranked a lot higher, right? But when you're talking about one of the charter franchises in the NFL, a team that's been around for 100 years with all the players the Bears have had, 27 is not too bad, I guess, but if you're a competitor, you always want to be a little higher. But you start looking at the names on the list and the names that Dan Pompey and Pearson had to go through, and gosh, that must have been a tough job to sit at that table and rank everybody, and especially because I am going to see Dan Pompey again. We'll have a conversation about
you're on your way to see him now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I want yeah. to talk to Dan about how I ended up 27, but. I guess it's not too bad, I guess, but what a tough job those two guys had with all the great players the Bears have had.
Yeah, now the difficulty really begins when you come after them over it, and I think if they do the list again, you'll be significantly higher.
my negotiating skills are not bad, so I will negotiate. hopefully we can get the list redone. I can get myself up a couple more spots.
You know, Olin, I think you could have seriously made an argument to have you in the top 25. There are a lot of great arguments that have come out of this list. I took exception to the Jay Cutler at 85. I thought that was a little bit low for him, although I understood the logic behind it. When you look at the first 75 names that have been released, any stand out to you as being like, I didn't really think they'd go there?
I think Jay was one. I thought Jay was, in the Bears' history of quarterbacks, Jay's probably the best, right? He's probably, he has the best stats, and he plays some pretty good football at times. So I thought he was a little low, but like we just talked about, if you go through the exercise that these two guys went through and put all the names on the table of all the guys, just the guys that I play with, where do you rank a Charles Tillman? Where do you rank a Lance Briggs? Where do you rank these guys who are really, really, really good football players? And then there's guys who are left off the list. It's just, I'm glad I didn't have to do it, to be honest with you.
Well, you're well ahead of Red Grange, so that should feel pretty good.
And George Halas.
Ed Healy died in 1978 at the age of 83. I mean, that's, you talk about 100 years. My God, right. He was like on the first team, for God's sake.
Right. And where did Pompey and Pearson get their film from these guys? So, you're ranking guys that maybe a lot of people haven't seen play football before. And then you have the recency bias, obviously, with, some guys like Eddie Jackson who are on the list, and Khalil Mack, who's an amazing football player. But where do you rank them in Bears history off of 1 year, right?
So 14 games. Yeah.
14 games. And, what a 14 games it was. But where do you start to put these guys? And, Ted Washington. Let's talk about Ted Washington, who – in my opinion, is the best nose guard to ever play the game of football in the NFL. Does he doesn't get on the list, or does he get on the list?
He's apparently no Akeem Hicks.
Under Akeem Hicks. And Khalil, Mack gets on the list because, if you ask me, because of recency bias. And
sure.
I would argue that when they signed Ted Washington as a free agent, he had just as big as an impact on our team in 2001 that Mack had on this team last year. So, maybe not as flashy because he doesn't get after quarterbacks, but as far as shutting down that inside and putting him in front of a young Brian Urlacher and him demanding from that defense, if you look back at the stats, guys, I think Greg Blotch's group only gave up under 12 points a game that year. So maybe even a better defense than you watched last year by just stats-wise, right? So these are the things you got to go through. These are the guys you got to talk about. In that room, the Mike Browns, the Tony Parrishes, these guys who have been on the Bears for years, and it's just it was a tough job.
Have you made your top five in your head? Do you think that Peyton, Butkus, Sayers, Nagurski, Dent, that's probably the first five that would come to my mind.
Maybe Urlacher makes it up.
Maybe Urlacher's fifth. Maybe somewhere else gets out of there.
Yeah, it's a top five. I mean, I got Walter Payton at number one, obviously, just the football player he was. 10 years of not missing any football games, and maybe the best running back and football player to argue in the league's history. So it'd be hard not to put him in number one for the Chicago Bears. But the rest of those guys you just named, I'm glad I didn't have that job.
And you know,
I think that Dan Pompey is going to see Mr. Hampton at the Bears 100 celebration. And I know how competitive those guys are, and they want to be ranked as high as they possibly can.
I know the Pro Bowl thing has been watered down quite a bit, but Dan Hampton made a Pro Bowl, and not a voluntary, not the secondary one, at each of the four positions on the defensive line. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. I heard you say that on the radio the other day, and that is really, really impressive. But like we talked about with the Pro Bowl, right, it's not watered down if you take a close look at it. And like you just said, if the guy was on the Pro Bowl team when it was originally announced, then he is a Pro Bowler. If he's an alternate, then he's really not, right? So I'm sure Dan was on the original Pro Bowl teams, which made every position. That's like a Bruce Matthews, right? Like Bruce made it every position on the offensive line. And that's, if you play in the NFL, that's amazing. You know, I don't know any other word for it, that these guys who can play any position across the line that they play on and dominate, that's an amazing feat.
Olin, before we let you go, just want to ask you a current Bears question. So James Daniels moves to center, Cody Whitehair to left guard. You've talked about that before, but it's official now. At least they're going to try it, and this is the time to try it. What were your thoughts when they did that yesterday?
I am a big fan of James Daniels at center. I think that Cody Whitehair is, he's a starter quality center in the NFL, if not a Pro Bowler. But I think James's ceiling at center, I think you can't keep him away from that position if you're coaching the Chicago Bears, because here's a guy who has a chance to be not a Pro Bowl center in the NFL, guys, the best center in the NFL. That's how good James Daniels is at center. Remember coming out, Kirk Ferentz, who is a well-respected offensive line guy in the NFL and around the country, said that James is one of the smartest guys he's ever coached. So that's a big part of playing center, right? Understanding the scheme, getting all your guys going in the right direction, and just having the mentality of making everybody around you better. And I think that's what James Daniels brings to the game. And just the performance he put on last year at left guard, and you could just see him understanding the little things in the game, understanding the angles, understanding where to fit in on double teams, understanding what linebacker he had, and then having the talent and the natural ability to get it done. And gosh, I think he's only 21. I mean, and that's amazing to me. So he's going to be fun to watch grow at that position for years. And I really think that Harry Hiestand had no choice but to move James in there, even as good as Cody Whitehair is. And I've said before that it's not a knock on Cody Whitehair. It's just how good James Daniels could possibly be at that position at center.
They say that he could be so good that he moves to 28, but definitely no higher.
It could be 20. Well, it just depends how well he negotiates with
him. Good stuff, Olin.
Great, Olin. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
That's hysterical. Olin Kreutz.
Good old number 27.
Good old number 27.
57 at 27.
Wow. Be careful.
You know what? You just made the list.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I love this Bears 100 list.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of great discussion. And, you know, the one thing that tells you that Olin Kreutz is getting used to this analyst thing, he's very good at it.
Oh, he's great at it.
He's very good at this because of the insight and analysis. And he's not afraid to offer an opinion. And the one that stood out to me, he compared the impact that Khalil Mack made on the 2018 Bears to the impact Ted Washington made on the 2001 Bears. And that's something that I hadn't considered, and it's not a comparison that I had made throughout the entire season.
They went 13-3 that year.
Yeah.
They had an unbelievable defense.
And but it started up front.
Well, and they brought him in and Keith Traylor.
Right.
And they had Brian Robinson, and I forget who was on the other side, but they basically had four defensive tackles. I think it was Philip Daniels. And they had like they were just kind of they're blockers. So stout on the line. And then you had Urlacher cleaning up everything. Briggs behind him.
They occupied so much attention
Mike
that
Brown.
Well, it wasn't Briggs yet. It wasn't Briggs
yet.
It was Holdman and Colvin.
Right.
So Briggs came in 2003.
Colvin. Roosevelt Colvin.
So
that's
in 2001,
right.
That was Urlacher kind of coming into his own.
That's right. That's
because
right.
of the presence of Ted Washington. And now, and you know, Khalil Mack certainly made a louder impression, and I think a more one that maybe people noticed more from a league perspective.
Well,
but I think Ted Washington was probably appreciated as much.
If he's not in the Hall of Fame, that half against Green Bay should put him in, right? Was that unbelievable?
Yeah, it was. It was something else.
That was amazing. But Khalil Mack, I mean, I think it's fun to argue about Khalil Mack because he was 60th on the list and he played 14 games. But isn't he, if you're talking about Hall of Famers with the Bears, he's already done enough to start talking about Hall of Fame, and he's just started here. Hopefully, you know, again,
he's
in his fifth year. Hopefully there's five more great years out of him.
I had less of an issue with Khalil Mack being 60th as I did in terms of surprise level of Eddie Jackson being 96th.
Was Ted Washington on the list?
I don't think that I've seen Ted Washington's name.
He's not going to be in the top 25.
Which was what makes his comment an opinion to me that much more remarkable, because I'm not saying he's invalid or anything like that. I respect his opinion as much as anybody who has watched football.
You better.
And, yeah, I know. I better. Right.
You're already on thin ice.
Yeah, I started on thin ice, but I think that it tells you how good Ted Washington was. And if he's not on the top 100 list, then you start to wonder about, you know, names that were omitting or been ignored.
You got that many Hall of Famers. It's just very difficult to start lining guys up, right? I mean, it's really hard when you got decades of Hall of Famers. The Bears in the 1940s dominated football and won championship after championship. Where does Sid Luckman wind up on this list? I know that sounds crazy, but Sid Luckman is the greatest quarterback in the history of the team. Oversaw tons of championships.
Now
he's a running back in college.
Top 10.
And that, you know, we'll never forget the way he thrilled the nation with the T formation. So
Ted Washington played 18 games for the Bears over two seasons.
18 games.
But that 2001 season, he played in 16. And that was the year that Olin was referencing. And I think injuries got in the way after that.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Mike. He's on the road. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, do you think the resurgence of the Cubs bats because of Iaposi?
Might be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Although
seems to get along with them a lot more.
I think from the mental standpoint, from the,
Who did he... What's your boy? The Indiana guy? What's his name?
Why is every guy from Indiana my guy?
Your guy, the hitting coach. Iaposi was
John Maley.
John Maley.
John Maley.
Isn't he in town?
Yes.
He's with Philadelphia.
Yes.
Why is he not? Why don't we have him in studio, David?
Well, because they play night games, and this is very valuable sleep time.
Oh.
John Maley was replaced by Chili Davis.
Yes,
he was replaced by Anthony Iaposi.
And Iaposi was working with John Maley. I'm just saying,
but if you're
back to the future in a way, right?
Exactly. But I think if you listen to what Joe Maddon has said, and he's been pretty consistent that he's diminishing that idea that the change made the difference.
Well, the change of Joe being more involved is what he's pushing. I'm making a joke.
But he has been more involved.
He has been more involved.
And you can't
And he was a hitting instructor
that.
When he was a younger
And when he has talked about changes in Bryant and Schwarber and even Rizzo, when he has talked about how their approaches, he's been specific enough to make you remember that he's been pretty hands-on. So Anthony Iaposi deserves credit because the Cubs bats have, you know, they're better than they were last year. The offense was broken. Look, you can now go back and have revisionist history and say that, yeah, Chris Bryant was injured. That's why it was broken. But it was broken. And it was more than just Chris Bryant being injured.
312-644-6767. It's our buddy David Spada Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, David.
Good. Chilly today, gone tomorrow.
Go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers. We can't say that to Ha. He's an Indiana guy.
That's all right. Jeez.
David, what are you talking about, Richard Dent's top five?
Well, okay.
Yeah, he's probably not.
Super Bowl MVP, Hall of Famer.
Okay. I'll give you a guy. 8-time Pro Bowler, 10-time first team or second team All Pro, who is in the 50s and 60s, Doug Atkins.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about him. We were talking about him during the break, believe it or not.
He's got to be top 10, right?
Well.
Oh, and here's the
thing.
He'll
be top 15.
I asked it, and he just texted me back. I said, okay, you play with Atkins. You coach Hampton and Dez. Who was the best? And Ditka said, it's hard to compare to Hampton because Hampton did it all.
Yeah.
Hampton ahead of Dent?
Hampton ahead of a lot of people. Hampton,
you've changed your mind a couple times there.
I have said consistently that Hampton belongs.
Didn't you have Hampton ahead of or Dent ahead of Hampton earlier in
never,
the show?
Never, ever, ever, okay. Never. David, thanks for
David,
the call.
Thank you very much for
never
calling me out.
In a 100,000 years.
Those were the first names that
Hampton,
came to my head.
You see, now this is the way, this again, if you listen to the guy sitting next to you, you'd know that I
thanks,
never.
Zach.
Ever.
Okay.
Dan Hampton, I said, when the list was announced, I said he should be top five. Now, he'll probably be top 10 or top 15, but I think Dan Hampton did more. You want to talk about the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. You don't have that without Dan Hampton.
Who's your top five? Who do you predict will be in the top five when it's released? That's later today, right?
Okay. Yeah, probably later today.
All right, so let's try to do that.
Walter Payton.
Yes.
Bronco Nagurski.
Not number two.
Okay, Walter Payton, Dick Butkus.
Yes.
Bronco Nagurski.
No. Sarge is my third.
I am Sarge. Third. Okay. Bronco Nagurski is in the top five.
I think he's fourth.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And
wouldn't argue with that.
Fifth is a good discussion. I really think there's a debate that probably will revolve around Hampton, Dent, Urlacher.
Oh, God. Sid Luckman.
Those four guys for that fifth spot.
Kevin is laughing at us. What is so funny?
These guys played before World War II. Well, I mean, how are we even?
Because it's 100 years of Bears history. You have to include all the people that were on the team over all the years.
Was FDR a great president, Kevin?
That's
Kevin,
debatable.
Kevin, when did the Bears win their titles?
Okay.
When did they
Back
win all their
titles? Matter.
In the 1940s.
Was Lincoln a great president,
Kevin? They've renamed. It's not, you know, it's 1920 football drive. They changed the name from 1000 to 1920 to honor the history of the team.
Okay.
You don't think that you should incorporate, is this modern era or is it 100 years?
It's 100 years.
Thank you.
It's 100 years.
I'm just saying.
Anybody who played before World War II,
Dan Hampton being Pro Bowl player at four different positions is very convincing. And his body of work is very impressive. And I think that it won't surprise me if he's, it won't surprise me whoever's fifth. But I think the top four are what we said. Payton, Butkus, Sarge, Nagurski.
I think Red Grange is pretty low at 36, but
what about Ditka?
He didn't spend tons of time. I think Ditka is he's clearly in the top 25, right?
Yeah, but where?
Top 20.
Okay. Between 15 and 20?
Top 10.
Okay.
Top 10. You know, see, that's biased because
again,
of the coach.
It's supposed to be players.
Players.
And he's a Hall of Fame tight end.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously, throw in the Super Bowl winning coach, and you got him moving up quite a bit. But hey, he's going to be ahead of George Halas.
Hester,
right?
Hester will be 25th.
Patty Driscoll was on this list earlier.
Don't you think that Urlacher will be a top 10? Come on.
Yes, I do.
Singletary.
He'll be top 15.
And Urlacher will be ahead of Singletary.
Probably.
I think so.
McMichael or Perry?
Do you think?
I don't think Perry makes it.
No, Perry's top 25.
Is he really?
Yes.
Well, William Perry?
Yeah.
They're not on the list.
Oh, they're not on the list. That's interesting.
So
I don't know, man.
Who's ahead of who?
I think McMichael's ahead of Perry.
Wow, Perry's in the top 25. That's weird.
That is kind of odd.
Yeah, Olin should have been ahead of him.
Olin agrees.
I mean, well, William Perry, you know,
wholeheartedly agrees.
It's such a long time ago, and no one remembers any of this stuff. But William Perry was in Super Bowl 20. He He was the only guy on the team that weighed more than 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now the whole league is filled with 300-pounders. He weighed 320. So you remember the stuff he could do? He could stand and jump on the table and all that stuff?
That's a pretty heavy fullback.
That is a big, big man. It's for that era, again, you know, you go to the combine now, you'd be hard-pressed to find an offensive lineman.
He's definitely in the top 25, don't you think? Because we have not seen his name yet. It wouldn't leave him off.
I don't know.
That can be like a surprise.
I don't know.
You think Pompey's sitting at home laughing right now?
I think
listening.
I think that he's like, got to be.
Those guys.
He's got to be. But here's the thing, and I say this sincerely. We could literally sit here and talk about this all day. I could pick apart every name of every guy. We could tell. I told you a couple stories that I've heard about guys that are unbelievable from guys back in the day. There's some amazing.
Patty Driscoll?
Patty Driscoll was a coach too, you know.
His last year was 1929 with the Bears.
But he was he was a coach with the Bears.
Well, as a player though. This isn't okay. Like a coaching list.
Well, I'm just saying it seems to be contributors to the organization as well, if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, it does. It does have that sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
I'm glad Gary Fensick's at 30.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he could be higher.
I think he could be higher, but I think that's good. I mean, that's probably appropriate. He could be higher, but that's not too low. I don't think it's too low.
I think Gary Fensick was an unbelievable Bear.
Oh, I loved Gary Fensick.
There were years
my favorite Bear.
When he and Doug Plank made the team, were the only guys worth watching, where you had these huge hits in the secondary, and you know Gary Fensick, obviously a very bright guy and a thinking man's football player as well, but I think he's definitely deserves to be there.
Dustin, you weren't really. I mean, McMichael's definitely ahead of Perry, right? That would not.
Yes.
On my list.
Oh,
yes. I'm asking where you think he'll end up. On my list, absolutely.
McMichael to me is between 20 and 25. My prediction.
Yeah,
that's worth.
Fair.
Hester.
Well, based on what we just talked about, now I'm very interested. Like 20 to 25,
right?
You know, Jay Hilgenberg is going to be in there. Where's Jimbo Covert?
Well, Jimbo Covert is, had a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, right,
it was just
right.
too
but
short.
I mean, where is he on
it
this
was
list
just,
now? That's
yeah.
what I'm asking.
He's likely ahead of Jay Hilgenberg.
I guarantee you he's on it.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure he's on
ahead
it.
Of William Perry.
He's ahead of Hilgenberg, but I mean, is he above 20?
I don't – I'll be very curious to see if he's ahead of Hilgi. I'm just not sure.
Durability, longevity.
Well,
based on the way that Dan, I think, has pushed Covert for the Hall of Fame, I would be surprised if he isn't. But both those guys could make rightful claims to be in the top 25.
Someone said, haven't seen the list. Where's Jay Cutler? He's at 85.
Okay, well established.
And again, I think you could put him lower if you wanted to.
Lower?
And you think he could
lower
go higher?
As in,
I'm just
like
hey, listen.
90?
What did Jay really accomplish?
Jay accomplished a lot statistically.
He threw a lot of picks.
Yeah, he did. He threw
a lot of
yards.
If he would have played the 20s, he would have won about 10 championships.
Jay came here as a savior.
Yeah.
Okay. And how?
Remove that from the equation. You can't.
But
it's impossible
you can't,
to.
You can't
people
because
can't
of
over,
the expectations.
People can't
when
get
he
over
here.
Their own feelings about
and
Jay Cutler, the person.
He joined a great defense. And what we found when Jay got here is, he's got to have the wide receivers. Oh, he's got to have the offensive line. We saw a switch from being a defensive team to an offensive team.
I wouldn't have put him any lower than 60. I think I would put him. You asked me. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't ask you, but
you did ask me.
You'd put Jeff George in there, so I don't think it's fair.
But we went shopping together.
You saw Santa together.
I know. How can you forget that? Jeff George. George Jeff.
We were covering the Bears 100 years ago. David mentioned that he was out at the shopping mall, and he and Jeff George were in line together with their kids. And I'm like, you going to see Santa with Jeff George? That's close.
He's quite a guy and quite a character.
All right. Right now, it's your chance to win $1,000. It's time for you to get it done. It's cash on the score. This hour's keyword is tree. Text the word tree to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is tree. Doug Atkins was the size of a tree. Text it to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates apply. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next. Mully and Hall on the score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.